Today we're going to be preaching from the Bible, and we're going to be in Matthew 5. So if you've got one, why don't you start turning to there now? And if you don't have one, put your hand up, and our stewards will come and bring you one in your seat. If the reason you don't have one is because you don't own a Bible, then write your name in this one, and you can keep it as a free gift from Grace Church. We do believe that every household should have their own Bible, so do take one. We're in the middle of our series, Who on Earth Do We Think We Are? And over the weeks, have you noticed that we've been looking at different pictures of the church? Steve started off with the body of Christ. So we are the body, he's the head. All parts of the body, different members, but there's one God, one spirit of unity. John Groves looked at the church as God's temple. So it's not a building. We are the temple of God. The spirit resides in us. And where we go, that's where God gathers. And we also, last week, Steve again, on God's people. And he said that we are the royal priesthood. That's us. So this morning, they're all pretty good, aren't they? All those topics, I think, oh yeah, we get that. Yeah, they're pictures of the church. This morning, I get, who on earth do we think we are? The lampstand. Oh yes, I know what you're thinking. That's obvious, that's easy, Chris. Yeah, right. No, it is good. It's a wonderful picture, actually, of the church. And just before we get really stuck into it, here's a question for you. What on earth is the church here for? If the church had one purpose, I know it's got many purposes, but if the church has one purpose, what might it be? Why don't you shout out some answers? The lost souls? Any others? Huh? To glorify God. Any others?
To be a light.
To be a light. To worship. Let's add a couple more.
Spread the word of God.
Gone. To pray. Yeah, they're all brilliant ones. I want to go with this one here. To be a light of the world. To be a light. And so in Matthew, I'm kind of giving you the answer right straight up, really. It's not really the answer, but it is a answer. But in Matthew 5, chapter 14, why don't you turn it to it now? So not chapter 14, chapter 5, verse 14, it says this: you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Yeah, so Father God, I do pray that you would help us as a church to be a light to the world. Lord, help us to shine our light forth so that people may see your good works in us and come to you to glorify you, we pray. Amen. All right then. So just before we get in, I just want to give you a bit of background, and I want to put up a picture at the moment of the tent of the tabernacle. I'll put it up there now. And I'm going to just talk briefly about this, because there is some significance in what I'm going to be talking about today. And some of you will know loads about the tent of the tabernacle, and we'll even be able to pick out a few bits that might be inaccurate in my drawing there. So, for example, the most holy place, which is the end bit in there, was actually a perfect cube, 144 cubits. And on the picture, doesn't quite represent that, but hey, you know, artists, they have license, don't they? And there will also be some people here who have no idea about the tent of the tabernacle. And that's okay too. Don't worry. Don't sort of shut down now. Just go with me for the moment. So the lampstand, it can seem a little bit random that the church is portrayed as that, as a picture like that. But it does appear quite a lot throughout the Bible. So we see it in the Old Testament, in Exodus 25, 1 Kings 7, Zechariah 4, and also in the New Testament in Revelation. And wherever the Israelites went, wherever they set up camp, they would build the tent of the tabernacle and the compound surrounding it and the altar. And this is what they would do. So it didn't matter where they were, wherever they went, they would do this. Even throughout all their times, even when they're in Jerusalem, that's what they did. They set up the tent of the tabernacle. And you had in the tent of the tabernacle, you had a curtain here. This is where the priest would go in. This place here is called the holy place. And this place is the most holy place. The most holy place. So in the holy place, you've got the lampstand, which is there. You've got the table of the bread of presence, which is there. And you've also got the altar for burning incense. So the altar of incense there. And so in the most holy place there, you'd have the Ark of the Covenant. There was only one Ark of the Covenant, and that's where it would be in that place. So if you wanted to find it, if you wanted to steal it for the gold, that's where you'd have to go. There was only one, that's where it was, in the most holy place. And so the high priest, he would enter here, and he could hang out in here. That was okay, that was good. He could hang out in the holy place. And his job would be to keep the lamps burning 24/7. He'd have to make sure that, you know, there's enough oil to keep it burning and that it stayed light. And he could, once a year, on the Day of Atonement, he could walk through there. So he could sort of follow the light, walk through, and go into the most holy place. He could walk through there, go into the most holy place, and he could atone for the people's sins. And so there'd be a sacrifice on the altar, two lambs, one that shed its skin, one being the scapegoat. And all of this is a picture of Jesus, of what was to come. And I can't go through it all, but you should, if you've got time, look it up. It's fascinating. It's amazing. And so just one thing I will highlight is, see that curtain there, the sort of the inner one that kind of covered the most holy place. So when Jesus died on the cross and said, "It is finished," it was that curtain that was torn in two. It was there that curtain was torn in two, and the priest, the access to the holy, to the most holy place, was then open. And what are we called? We are called a royal priesthood. So anyone who puts their trust in Jesus, those priests can make their way to the Father, to the most holy place. What an amazing picture, hey? It's so good to know these kind of things. And so, what about the lampstand? This is the lampstand. Again, just let you know a little bit about it. It was always there in the holy place. It was there to kind of light the way along, you know, and it was sort of stood with the table of the presence and the altar of incense. And it was made from one solid block of gold. And so they carved out the lampstand from one solid block of gold. And it would rest on a base and have six branches out of the central stem of the lampstand. And so altogether there was seven of those lamps across the top. Seven lamps. All right, so six coming out and then the central one. And the whole thing was modelled on an almond tree. So obviously it's a picture of the church. Hey, good news. So I asked this question at the beginning, what on earth are we here for? Well, the passage tells us that we are here to be a light to the world. That we should let our light shine. We are called to light the way to the Father, that everyone may see our good works and then go and give glory to God who is in heaven, God the Father. And as a church, that's our aim. That's our mission. We are a dynamic Christian church. That's what we are. We want to reach communities from the South Downs to the sea, that in all our different communities that we serve, they may see our good works and come and give glory to God, to the Father. They would come into relationship themselves with Jesus, that they would be part of the royal priesthood and they would give glory to God. That's our aim. That's what we do. And this morning, my real question is, well, how do we do it? How do we make sure that our light is shining brightly? How do we make sure that our light is one that attracts people, that signposts people to the Father? And in order to do that, I've got 3 points. One is so I'm looking at the lampstand. I want to look at its location, the location of the lampstand, its fuel, so its source of light, and its structure, the structure of the lampstand. So let's start with location, location, location. When we buy a house, that is the key, isn't it? Location, location, location. That is what we look for when we buy a house, make sure it's in the right place. Of course, unless you're skint, and then you just got to go with what you can afford. That's certainly what me and Catherine did. That's what we went for, and it's blessed us. We are blessed. But it's the same for the lampstand. The lampstand, the location was key. And maybe not the physical location, but the spiritual one. Maybe not the location in terms of where it was in the land, but the kind of spiritual one where it was in terms of the closeness of the Father. And so the Israelites, they did move around a lot, and they would follow the cloud. Remember the cloud? So the cloud would move, and then they would move and set up camp wherever the cloud stopped. They would then set up camp there. They would set up the tent of the tabernacle, and then if it moved again, they would move again, and they would follow God's calling around. And wherever they stopped, they would set up the tent of the tabernacle. And we know that the lampstand represents the church, and we've heard it, haven't we, over the past few weeks, that the church isn't the building, but it's the people, isn't it? And so for the lamps, it was so important that the lampstand was close to the most holy place. Because if it was outside, if it wasn't in the compound, then the priest wouldn't be able to find his way. He'd be stumbling over. He wouldn't know where the most holy place was. If it was out back, hanging out, then that would be useless too. Actually, it was vital that it was in the holy place, right next to the most holy place. So church, if we're going to be a light to the world, we need to be close to God. We need to stay close to the most holy place. In Chichester, we're going to be moving soon, aren't we? We're going to be moving on from the Grace Centre in a couple of months. Does that mean that we all give up? Does it mean we all go home? Does it mean that church stops because God's not with us because we won't be meeting here and this is the building and this is where God is? No, it doesn't, because God's with us. He promises never to leave us nor forsake us. He promised to be with us, and we can be confident that he is with us today because he's not in the building, actually he's with us. Wherever the two or three people gather, that's where I am, says the Lord. So it's vital that the lampstand, wherever they went in the whole of the land, wherever they set up camp, it was vital that the lampstand was next to God, next to the most holy place. And that's the same for us as a church, that we need to make sure that we are staying close to God. If we want our light to shine, then we need to listen to him. We need to ask him. We need to talk to him. We need to speak to him. We need to seek after him. And the church is made, isn't it, of many different members, all different members. That's what the church is made of. And so this also applies to each individual in this room. So how's your walk with God? Are you close to him? Stay close to him. That's how your light's going to shine. So when crisis hits, that's when we see people's true character, who they really place their trust in. Are you afraid? Are you panicked? Are you worried about situations you might be facing? Are you anxious? You don't need to be. It doesn't mean that they're not real. We just need to trust in the Lord, because he's good. His love does endure. Even when we were sinners, that's when Jesus came, didn't he? That's when Christ came and died for us. The Bible tells us that the birds in the air, they're clothed majestically and they're fed, aren't they? And how much more are we worth to him? We can trust in God. God's always provided. He's always been faithful. He's not a liar. He's consistent, and he knows our situation as a church. He knows your situation as an individual. And so how can we stay close to God? We need to trust him. We need to speak to him. And we don't need to put our trust in someone else to do it for us. You don't need to put your trust in, like, Steve or something. Steve, can you trust in God for me? No. We don't need a priest to do that. We are the priests. We are the royal priesthood. So it's important that our trust is in him. So we need to stay close to him. Church isn't the physical location. Sorry, I forgot to put that up. We are a church that stays close to God. So, I mentioned earlier that when Jesus died, that curtain was torn in two, wasn't it? And the priests, we can now make our way into the throne room of heaven. We can have a relationship with Jesus. And can I just mention here, notice one thing as well, that the lampstand, it wasn't in someone's tent at the back somewhere. It wasn't in someone's house. It wasn't down the pub. It was in the tent of the tabernacle. And people went to that place to gather. And so what is church? It's not two blokes and a dog in a pub. Church is this. Church is a gathered community of people. Church is together. We are together. So if you're on the outside, if you're looking in, if you're not sure, shall I get stuck into this church? Yeah, come and belong. And if it's not this church, go and join another church. But get stuck in, because that's where God is. That's who God chooses to use. That's the lampstand. That's the way that God is going to light people to him. So that's what we do. We are a church that stays close to God. It's all about location. Okay, point two. How do we keep shining bright? It's all about the fuel. Throughout the whole of the Old Testament, whenever we sort of hear oil, olive oil, then the New Testament refers to that as the Spirit, as the Holy Spirit. And the lampstands, they were useless if they didn't have any oil, because they wouldn't be able to shine. And they wouldn't be able to light the way for the priest to go to the most holy place. and they therefore they would stumble around in darkness. So Proverbs 4:19 says, "The way of the wicked is darkness. They do not know over what they stumble." They don't know. They don't know what they stumble over because they're in darkness. But the light of the Lord gives life, doesn't it? And so part of the priest's job was to make sure to keep the lights, lamps topped up with the oil and a light 24/7. The lamps needed fuel to keep shining. We need the Holy Spirit. And so it's not, we don't do church by our strength, by our might, by our power, but we do it by His Spirit, don't we? We trust in the Lord through the Spirit of God, through the Holy Spirit working and empowering us. That is the source of our energy. That's the source of all that we do. We are a church that moves in the Spirit. And so we do see, don't we, tongues, prophecy, words, interpretation, words of knowledge. We might not always see them on a Sunday. You know, you can bring them on Sunday as well as on a Thursday prayer evening or as well as in small groups. I'd encourage you to do that. But we do see them in our church. So I know that we've got gifts here in this room with those. So come on, church, let's bring them. It's a challenge as well to all leaders, all across the church, elders, life group leaders, ministry leaders, tea and coffee leaders. It was the priests that kept the lamps burning 24/7. We need to keep in step with the Spirit. Who are the priests now? It's us, isn't it? We're the priests. All of them, everyone in this room, we're the priests. All those that have put their trust in Jesus. It's our job to make sure we keep in step with the Spirit. And so it's all of us. It's all of us. We all have a duty to stick close to God, to stay close to Him, and to keep in step with the Spirit. So Matthew says that we are a light to the world. We need to let our light shine. How? It's all about staying close to the Father, keeping in step with the Spirit. The lampstand, it was placed in the holy place to light the way to the Father. That was the point of it. It was there to light the way. And the purpose of the church is to stand on holy ground, in that holy place, lighting the way for the Father. So my question is, who are you inviting to church? Who are you inviting on the Alpha Course? Which of your neighbours have you invited round for dinner this week? Where's your light shining? What about work? Who have you spoken to this week about Jesus, about what He's done for you in your life? This is challenging stuff. This is stuff that I've struggled with. And so a while ago, I can't remember who was speaking, if it was here or somewhere else. I kind of just had a bit of a revelation because I was kind of battling with this. Who should I invite? And I was thinking about my friends and sort of going through the list and thinking, oh, nah, he's a bit too cool for church. He won't come along. Or, oh, nah, he still does drugs, so he can't come along. He won't enjoy it. Or, oh, nah, I don't really want them there. They're just geeky. And I was handpicking people for God. And I was a little bit fearful as well because there was a couple of friends I thought, oh, actually, I reckon they, you know, if God touched their lives, they'll be on fire. But I was too scared to ask them because I thought, well, if they said no, they were kind of rejecting me because I was, you know, it's my church and I want them to come along. And so that's a rejection of me. And what this preacher said once was, the results are His. They're not mine. The results are Jesus. And that just completely released me because what it meant was that when I go and ask people now, and if they say no, well, fine, they're not rejecting me. They're rejecting Jesus. That's okay. If I invite people to Alpha and they say no, well, that's between them and God. If I am a light and I'm lighting people to the Father and they choose not to follow the light, that's absolutely fine by me because the results are Jesus's. They're not mine. It's not my job to drag people kicking and screaming to the Father because it wouldn't work anyway. It's my job just to be a signpost. And so that's what we're called to be, church, to be a signpost, lighting people to the way and encouraging them to follow the light. If they choose not to, that's between them and God. And that's really releasing. It means that we can talk to our friends and just be open with them and we can encourage them. And if they say no, okay, well, that's fine. It's not my job. It's not my job to drag them to church. And it means it just completely releases us. And so how is this possible? Well, I can't do it myself. You know, I'm sinful. I mess up. I hurt people. I say stupid things. I put my mouth in it. But I know that through the Spirit, actually, God can do all things. So I cling to God closely. I need to walk in the Spirit, and that's what we need to do as a church. We need to trust that the results are His, and we can be confident that He will do the rest. And I think this story sums it up quite well. Do you remember there's a story in John 8 about a woman who was caught in adultery, and the scribes and the Pharisees, they dragged her to Jesus, and they wanted to test Jesus and said, look, come on, Jesus, we should stone her. And Jesus said, look, whoever's without sin, you can be the first person to cast that stone. And they all went away. And so then Jesus turned to the woman and says, these guys don't condemn me, and neither do I condemn you. But the very next verse, Jesus then says, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of light. What? I know what you're thinking. Hold on, Chris. You said that we are the light of the world. You said the church is the light of the world, but you've got Jesus here saying that he is the light of the world. What's going on? Surely that's confusing. No, it's magnificent. This is amazing news. This really tells us that the results are all about Jesus, that it is Jesus' light working through the church. And so it's amazing. It's Jesus' light that shines. So when Matthew says, you are the light of the world, he's talking about the church. Oh, and who's the head of the church again? Oh, it's Jesus, isn't it? Jesus is the head of the church. And Jesus uses his body to reach people. So this is my third point. It's all about structure. It's all about the structure of the church. The church is structured on Jesus. And when it is, its glorious light leads people to the Father. What an amazing mystery that God chooses the Son with his bride, the church, filled by the Spirit, to be a light in the darkness, to light the way back to the Father. It's an amazing picture, really, of the Trinity, isn't it? And so let's just consider for a moment the lampstand itself. Because I mentioned earlier, I think, that it might have been a Bognor, I don't know. I mentioned that there's numbers in the Bible that sometimes have meanings. Okay, so we can get books in the Bible where numbers have specific meanings. All right, so the number 6 in Revelation, in John, in other books, means man or humanity. The number 7 means God or completion in God, the fullness of God. So it's no coincidence that the lampstand had 7 lamps. And it's also no coincidence that there was a central stem and there was 6 coming out of it. And so those 6 lamps, that's like a picture of us, of humanity. But it's only a church when it's grafted into that central stem, when it comes out of that stem of Jesus. That's when it becomes a church. That's when that lampstand can reflect who Jesus calls to be his light, his church. There are 7 lamps. That is completeness, the fullness of the church itself. And so we've got the 6 branches, and that's nothing without the central stem of Jesus. And so when the church is rooted, when it's grafted, when it's structured on Jesus, then it's complete. So it was the priest, wasn't it? It was the one that could go into the most holy place once a year. But now we have a great high priest, and we are called the royal priesthood. And we can now come through those ripped curtains that Jesus tore apart when he died, and we can go in. We have access to the Father. He invites us in, and we can have a relationship with him. So Jesus can say things like, I am the light of the world, and no one comes to the Father except for me. And he can also say that you are the light of the world, because Jesus chooses to do his work through the church. Another verse that just sums this up is John 15, that says, abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. That's the church. He is the vine, we are the branches. He is the head, we are the body. He is the great high priest, we are the royal priesthood. He is the bridegroom, we are the bride. Grace Church, we are grafted, we are rooted into Jesus. Isn't that good news? What an amazing picture. So who on earth do we think we are? We are a church that's abiding in Jesus. So if we're going to light the way, we need to stay close to God. Location is key. We need to keep in step with the Spirit. It's all about his oil, isn't it? Oil with the Spirit, keeping it burning. and we need to be structured on the foundation of Jesus. So back to Matthew 5, he tells us that you are the light of the world. So don't hide your lamp, don't put it under a basket, but let it shine forth. How do we shine brightly? We're a part of his body. He's the head. We can cling closely to God, and we trust in God, don't we? We trust him for the results because he's building his church. He called us, didn't he? Even when we were dead, he called us from our sins and transgressions. Have you tried calling a dead person? Hello? Hello? Wake up? They don't listen, do you? Do they? But when God calls, they're made alive in Christ. God's doing it. God's building his church. And so just a picture in terms of how we can be the light. I've been thinking this week of like a prison. So imagine you've got a prison. The church is the prism, and God shines his light through it. On its own, without the light, the prism is just a see-through block. But with the light of God, out comes glorious rays. And that rays is the good works that people see. And so God shines his light, shines it through us so that others might see the good work of the church and then go and give glory to God the Father to him. That's what we're called to be a church, help signpost people to the Father. Doesn't mean we do nothing. No, actually, we allow God to shape us, to mould us, to be his body. And so that's where we're like this prison. So what are the types of things that people might see? Well, they might see our worship. That's not just our singing on a Sunday, but it's our lifestyle, isn't it? A lifestyle of worship, as Simo talked about in the summer holidays on Psalms. It's the way we give. It's the way we're generous with the people about us. It's the way we speak to people. It's discipleship people see. And so that's when we gather together in our small groups, of our young people groups, when we read his word, when we come here, Faith 360. It's about discipling each other. It's about outreach. That's when we do things like Alpha Quiz Nights, when we go to Midhurst and launch Midhurst and give people leaflets in the street. It's when we give away free stuff. It's when we have people into our homes, when we share hospitality. It's about family, when we get together, when we share meals together, when we celebrate together, when we come together on prayer nights. It's about prayer. So that's in our church groups, in our small groups, as individuals, in our ministries and our sites on Tuesday mornings for prayer meetings. And also, it's about ministry. And this is probably what people look to first. These are the things that we do outside of the church. And people want to know, well, what are we doing in our community? What are we doing for this? What are we doing for that? How are we getting involved? And we do, Grace Church, we do get involved, don't we? We are so good at getting involved in the community. And I was just sort of thinking through some of the stuff that we do. And there's quite a lot. The Bible says so that people may see your good works. Well, we call it grace works because it's all by the grace of God. And some of those things include food bank. That's giving food to people that are going through difficult times. We have Christians Against Poverty. It's our CAP course, which is helping people with money management. We've got compassion. We do that in two ways, with the Child Survival Program out in the Philippines, caring for mothers with young children. And also, as individuals all across the church, we sponsor young people. We've got our street work, which is in Bognor Regis, Aaron Angels. In Chichester, we have City Angels, which people are a part of. We have the prison ministry, where we go in, we run alpha courses, and we mentor people, we stand by people. We've got options, crisis pregnancy counselling, which we have people in our church that are involved in, really helping people, getting alongside and helping people through difficult times. We've got a Tuesday group, supporting adults with additional needs. We've got fostering and adoption. Lots of people around the church foster and adopt. They take people in. And more recently, we've been working really closely with the government to befriend people that might be coming in through the refugee crisis that we're seeing at the moment. And we want to do more. So recently, I've been going into local schools, and I went into one school recently, and I said, look, we're a church. We love to offer our services. We love to give. What's your need? What can we do? I didn't really go in there with agenda. I just said, look, what is your need? What can we do? And he said, oh, well, we don't really get any churches coming in here. They always go to Bishop Luffer, but we'd love you to come and do assemblies. And I was like, okay, well, I'm a church leader. Can I talk about Jesus? Can I preach the gospel? I said, oh, yeah, you can preach the gospel. You can talk about Jesus. And then he said, oh, we'd love you to, if you can get alongside some people. So in a few weeks, in 2 weeks' time, we'll be doing assemblies throughout a whole week to everyone in the whole school. I'm also going to be mentoring some kids, getting alongside a few individual key pupils that are at risk of exclusion. And why? To give them self-identity, self-worth. And then he was like, oh, well, what can we do for you? And I was like, well, he goes, you know, can we advertise your church? Can we put it in our registers? Like, yes. Yeah, I think that'd be okay. And this is all good stuff. And I want to encourage you, if you're free in the mornings and you want to get involved in something like that, sort of between 8:30 and 10, or if you have other time, then why don't you pop me an email? Let me know if you want to. I mean, I'm more than happy to do it all by myself. That's fine. But if you want to, do let me know. There are good things that we do as a church. We are a church that gives to our community. And I love it when we do, because that's what people see. That's the light that's going to help lead them the way to the Father. It's not just about the grace works, but it's about all those other things I mentioned too, which is good. Okay, so let's finish up. Some of you might be thinking, okay, Chris, right, I've got it. Church is the lampstand. It's there to light the way to the Father. But so what? Surely it's just all in vain, isn't it? At some point, everyone's going to die, and then that'll be it. Or some of you might be thinking, well, you know, what's the point? What is the point? Is it really all worthwhile? Is it really something that's going to make a difference in our generation? And, you know, John, who wrote Revelation, he thought about this too. And we read some of his insights. And again, we come back to that number seven. And so in a moment, I'll read it again. And he talks about the seven golden lampstands. And so he's looking, this is a picture of the church towards at the end times. And he sees a vision of the church. And so if you're wondering, is it all really worthwhile? Well, this is what John saw. I'm going to read some more than what I'm able to put up. But you can follow me anyway. It's in Revelation 1, verse 12. Then I turned to see the voice that was speaking to me. And on turning, I saw seven golden lampstands. That's the completion, the whole of the church completed. And in the midst of the lampstands, one like Son of Man, clothed with a long robe and with a golden sash around his chest. The hairs of his head were white, like white wool, like snow. His eyes were like a flame of fire. His feet were like burnished bronze, refined in a furnace, and his voice was like the roar of many waters. In his right hand he held the seven stars, that's angels. From his mouth came a sharp two-edged sword, and his face was like sun shining in full strength. Verse 17, when I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. But he laid his right hand on me, saying, fear not, I am the first and the last and the living one. I died, and behold, I am alive forevermore, and I have the keys of death and Hades. That's Jesus, isn't it? That's Jesus standing amongst his church in the end days. And this is what John saw, and it's glorious. That's why we're here. Because on that final day, there's going to be many people that are in fear and trembling. And God, he doesn't want that. He wants to draw people to him. We are called to be a light to this world, to help point people in the direction of the Father, not hidden under a basket, because that's just useless. No one can see it. Not too bright, like a rabbit in the headlights, because people just get scared off and like, whoa, it's too much. But warm, loving, friendly, hospitable. What's the point of the light? Well, it's to light the way to the Father, isn't it? So people can see. You know, we sing that song, I once was blind, but now I see. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I once was blind, but now I see. What's this all about becoming a Christian, knowing our Father in heaven? And also, the light is a place to gather, isn't it? We gather around lights. We don't gather in darkness somewhere. We gather around lights. So the purpose of the light is to point people to the direction of the Father. So we are a church. How do we do that? How do we be a light to the world? We stay close to God. We are fueled by his Spirit. We abide in Jesus, grafted into Jesus. He's the root of everything we do. We do good works out of all of that, God's light shining through us so that they may see the light and head towards the Father. Why don't we stand together? If the band's around, you can come up. Nettie, why don't you start playing as well? What an honour, eh? What an honour. We get to be part of this amazing plan that Jesus has put in place, that the Father has started for us. Jesus chose to use the church, didn't he, to point people to the Father. The lampstand is a picture of that church. But it's also a picture of each and every one of us, isn't it? because we're all members of the same body, all members of the church. The lampstand is also a picture of individuals. So we are called to reflect Jesus' glorious light in everything that we do. That's our speech, our light, our life, our work, our friendships, our hobbies. Not that we're special, but he is. You can play in Italy at school. So here's just a quick question. What about you? Are you close to God? How's your walk with him? Do you want to be close to him? Are you full of his spirit? Do you ask him for his spirit to dwell in you? If you're a Christian, it already does. It's true. What about Jesus? Is your life centered on him? Do you abide in him? Are you alive for Christ? Are you on fire for the work that he's doing here in Grace Church, here in your life? Or if you're a guest here, from where you come from? The Spirit's here. Why don't we raise our hands? I'd love to pray for you. Let's pray together. It's me too. We're our church. We're all together, aren't we? Why don't you just start where you are? Why don't you just start calling out to God? Draw near to him. If you can speak in tongues, you can do that right now. Yeah, Father, we thank you. Lord, we thank you that you are an amazing God. Lord, we thank you that throughout the whole of your word, throughout the whole Bible, Lord God, you reveal your Son to us time after time after time. Lord, you reveal, Lord, your plans for this world through your church. Lord, we thank you for the picture of the lampstand. I just pray now for each and every one of us here. Lord God, would you help us? Lord, would you meet with us? Lord, we want to be on fire for you. Lord, we want to shine your light, Lord, in the darkness. We have many friends and colleagues and people around us that don't know you. And I just pray now, Lord God, that you would fill us with your spirit. Heavenly Father, would you help us, Lord God, to just have a passion for your name? Lord, would you fan it in us? Lord, I pray for those of us that are feeling away from you, distant from you, Lord, would you draw us near? Lord, would you draw near? Lord, for those that don't know you, Father, I pray, Lord God, that you would reveal yourself to them. Lord God, would they see your glorious light and walk in it? Father, I pray for each and every one of my brothers here today, Lord Jesus, that we would be grafted into you. Lord God, that we would know your presence amongst us. Lord, as we walk out of this place, Lord, that we would be people that shine light in the darkness. Lord, help us to be generous. Lord, help us to be people of light. Lord, help us not to get caught up into all the different ways of this world, but help us to stand in the light. Help us to stand on holy ground, Lord, close to you. Help us, Lord God, to do right by those around us. Lord, not just for its sake, but because people may see the light and find you. Yeah, Lord, we pray, Lord God, that we thank you that we are a church, Lord. Lord, we long to stay close to you. Lord, we long to be filled by your spirit. And so we just invite you in now. Heavenly Father, come and be with us. Come and fill us, I pray. Amen.